Well, let's call to order the Johnson County Hospital District meeting of May 31st. Would anyone like to make a motion to approve the minutes of our April meeting?
I'll make a motion.
I'll second it.
It's been moved and seconded. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. The minutes are approved. Chief of Staff is here. She's taking notes.
I was trying to compile my thoughts. Gosh, it seems like it's been busy, really since kind of late April to May. Things have really picked up. People are busy in the clinic. Hospital census has kind of gone up and down, but we are seeing a little bit of COVID again just this last week or so. So it's making its rounds and starting to get a little bit. We're starting to feel some of the squeeze in the clinic with the construction. There's a kind of a new barrier up on the northwest corner, and like Dr. Darnell's kind of out of his rooms, and so we've been doing pretty well with moving around and trying to kind of get by there. There's some days where it's been a little noisy, but I think we're getting along pretty well overall, moving around with things. And I feel like morale's pretty good still there in the clinic. I mean, everybody's kind of excited, I think, to see things happen. We're just figuring out how to move around it. We are starting to see with summer, you know, we're looking ahead at the schedule, and there's some vacations and things that are planned over the summer. So we always kind of feel that a little bit, too, in the clinic and the hospital both. But I think the schedule looks good. Everything's covered, and we should be good there. Miranda has been helping look into some more options for education for med staff. It's kind of been one of our goals is to try and find or partner with someone who could help offer. There's a lot of like these academic facilities, University of Washington, or some of these where they have, you know, they video their grand rounds or things like that, where we could actually video in or satellite in and watch and kind of participate and maybe get some of our CME credits earned that way. So we're kind of looking into that. And then I think otherwise, we've just had a lot of discussions kind of with Luke and different things trying to figure out. I think there's kind of a generalized look for how do we continue to offer additional services for our hospital and what kinds of things could we offer for patients and improve. So.
Will hours change with the addition of the lock-in clinic for those providers?
Yeah, Miranda can probably address that better than I can, but I think the plan is to for that walk-in clinic to have more expanded hours, and whatever provider is working that will work through that, I guess.
Whoever draws the short straw.
I think there's a couple people that are interested in doing that, so.
Any questions for Dr. Rice?
I don't know. I mean, I guess we're probably not looking at really being into that space until winter, at least, or spring. So
I say fall, but we're that might be because that we'll see.
So we have some time to figure it out.
Very good. Thank you. Well, Miranda, would you like to take off with the clinic report?
Sure. You guys will probably see on the report that we were down in visits from last year at the same time. I look back at our schedule. We actually had 5 weeks of provider vacation this past go-around, and I think that's what contributed to our reduction in our numbers. I mean, if you take five providers out of a clinic, or 5 weeks of vacation out of a clinic, you have 4 days where they're seeing approximately 10 patients a day. That's your 200 patients right there. So, where we didn't have that amount of vacation this same time last year. So, that was unfortunate, but hopefully we don't do that again.
Yeah, was that going to happen every month? Like, how is that getting remedied?
It's a really nice time to be off.
Spring break.
Probably. It is spring break.
Okay.
Yeah, there was a few providers off for spring break, so that did not help.
Yep. wasn't me.
One of the clinic nurses is leaving and another one coming in?
Yeah, Monica, who has been Dr. Darnell's nurse for the past year, is pursuing something with a different avenue for her education. And we've hired a nurse that she's worked in urgent care at Sheridan, worked on the floor PRN with Mary for a while, and really kind of wants to ride out the rest of her nursing years in the clinic and has clinic experience. So she's done a couple of days of onboarding and seems like she's going to be a good fit.
Any questions for Miranda?
Just a quick question. Tom, so you attribute the, I guess, the decline in April to the vacation schedule. Well, you'd almost think that then we would make that up, wouldn't we, like in the following month or something, because people would reschedule or something, or no?
We might see an increase the next month, but if you take that many providers out, we don't really replace those appointments. They'll reschedule the following month, so I don't think we really make them up.
I think, I mean, what you see is really like 1 month where we had a lot of vacation, but we haven't increased their vacation time, so it's really, like, that might hit more in 1 month, but over the course of the year, it really shouldn't translate to less patient volume as a whole, I would think, so.
Any other questions? Thank you. Brenda, what do you have to say about Amy Hull?
Well, what I have to say is we are in the process of hiring a full-time LPN, which I'm really excited about. Thanks for Miranda sending him our direction. He lives here locally, so that's a plus, and he's been driving to Sheridan, so he'll be closer to home. Within about 2 weeks, we'll be down to 2 travel CNAs. We've had quite a few like high school students interested in taking the CNA class and working for us for the summer. Not real interested in working weekends because that's when life happens, but we'll try to manage with what we have and resist the urge to bring in any travelers if at all possible. And the last thing is June 26th to 30th, we are having our annual Amy Hull Care Center Staff Appreciation Week, and we just have treats and fun and
a good time. That's sounding rather favorable.
It does.
Besides the students, what else are you attributing it to?
We have had a couple, I don't know, we've had a couple applicants that have been CNAs in the past that let it lapse, and I don't know, they were very, I think they were happy with the wage we offered compared to what they were doing, so I think word must be getting around. We're also trying to be more creative with the advertising on Facebook, and Melissa was going to put something on Instagram, a term I'm using that I have no idea what I'm talking about.
I thought it was interesting your comment on the new, you know, the potential, I guess, relationship with the New West High School. So that would be a new thing?
Yes. The alternative school, yeah, she's interested in talking more in the fall when she sees what students are there that might be interested.
That's cool. All right.
Thank you, Brenda. Well, Mary?
Is summer's hitting. We've had accidents, car accidents, horse accidents, four-wheeler accidents, and just more tourists through. Yes, good for business. Sorry to say it. That's nice. One of our new nurses oriented today. One of them that will be coming had a baby and will be here when she's done with maternity leave in July, and the other one will orient and then have a baby at the end of July, so we'll sort of swap those two out, but that's good news, and they'll all be good nurses. And like Dr. Rice said, our census is up and down and up and down. We don't know
when you tell the hospitalist that, they feel busy because they're admitting and discharging and admitting and discharging. And it's all a lot of work for everybody, but it's good.
How long do you give them for orientation?
Well, it sort of depends on how they feel. And we had a new LPN start yesterday also, and she's going to be amazing. And took it upon herself to go to Cheyenne to do an IV therapy class, which is awesome too. So we'll generally give them 10 weeks and then see if they feel ready. I remind them that they'll never be alone on the floor. After that 10 weeks anyway, they'll always be with an experienced nurse. It just won't, they're usually the third nurse on the floor, and then at that point they'll just be the second nurse. They usually orient one-on-one with the nurse while there's also another one there, so. And they usually feel ready. Some places do 6 months, and I just feel like that's sort of a slap in the face. They just got out of nursing school. You know, it's a long time. We're med surgeons from bed, and they usually get it. They don't go to ER and OB until they're experienced back there, so they just stick with the med surg. Good question. Anything else?
Thanks, Mary. Lori, is it all on the report, or did you
want to add one thing. So since I'm the temporary lab manager, we actually hired a lab manager. So she'll be starting in August, so we're extremely excited about that.
Do we still have a traveling lab tech in there, too?
We have two.
We have two in there.
So will we get rid of one after she's here?
Yeah. One will be on, and then she actually has something that's a 2-year lab. I don't know, it's a lab tech something or other. Instead of the 4-year, she has two people up from Alaska that might be interested in coming down here. You just have to have somebody that signs off on their skills and everything, and it's not something that we've used in the past. But if she's willing to do it, we're willing to look at that.
Well, that's some good news.
It is good news. They're very excited. They really seem to like her. They think that she'll be really good. So.
Her husband does patient access, so just hire him.
Yeah.
Patient access.
Registration and stuff. They call it patient access.
Well, good news. Any other questions for Laura?
When does she start?
In August, I don't know the exact date.
She lives on an island in Alaska, so she had to wait for the barge schedule for stuff.
Summer's nice in Alaska.
Yeah.
So.
All right, well, we moved right along through the leadership reports. Our CEO report is next.
I got a couple things. With the Amy Holt Care Center, we've been spending a lot of time meeting with the team over there, trying to come up with what options do we have to make this thing fiscally responsible, sustainable for us as an organization. So I don't know if we have anything that's like a major slam dunk at the moment, but we have a lot of different things we're pursuing, looking at different staffing models and trying to figure out if there's ways we can kind of reduce some of the staffing that we currently do, making sure we're not eliminating, you know, the quality of care, but where are we maybe overstaffed certain times of the day and things like that. So the staff's been really good at bringing up ideas from that. The other thing that we're trying to look at is, I brought it up here for a long time, Senior Life Solutions is the Medicare outpatient behavioral health program. We've looked at potentially putting them in the open hallway that we have and actually having a revenue generating opportunity through there. I think it would be a pretty big increase financially for us from that standpoint. One of the things we've talked about is there's not like one magic solution. It's going to be like finding small things here and there to get us to where we need to go. And, you know, each one of the travelers we can eliminate and get permanent staff in is going to be a huge help with that. It'll be one step in the process to making it sustainable. You know, we've really tried to avoid using that hallway with the intent, like, just that hopefulness that we'd get back. I think the community really needs it. But one of the advantages with Senior Life Solutions is we wouldn't really have to do any remodeling. And so they could really use the space as is. And so we could recommission the beds in the future if staffing does improve and we're at a better position to bring people back in. So those are some of the things that we're trying to look at right now. And then the other thing is just looking at like Medicaid and our current rate that we have for self-pay patients. I know we've tried really hard to kind of keep that low. We'll talk about that a little bit more later, but I think that's going to help, you know, be kind of one of those steps that we'll take in the long run as well. They did have earlier this year a way to for nursing homes that are struggling to apply for an increased rate. So we've reached out to the state on applying for that, but they're doing a big jump to Medicaid rates, and so they suspended that program to see how the increased rates help with that problem. And so it's something we'll be in contact with the state going forward. It's kind of a 6-month program, so we'll see what options we can have to try to help turn this around. Another thing, and we've kind of been working on it a little bit here and there over the last several months, is looking at the employee retention credits or tax credits. I don't know if you guys have seen anything. I get emails from about 10 different people a day, I feel like, on this program. And so we work with a firm that really stands behind the work. They handle the audits from the IRS. If we end up getting audited, they've been through several audits and passed them. They have like attorneys on site to make sure that the package is going forward, that they can stand on that, it's defendable. And so we just got numbers actually earlier today and what they think we could potentially recover in those tax credits, and it's like just under $1.4 million for the first quarter, and there's potential for us to apply for additional quarters outside of that. So that's definitely an exciting opportunity there that I didn't expect it to be that large, but it's...
Is that for 1 year?
It's for one quarter.
One quarter?
And there's two other quarters we could apply for. So it has to do with the regulations and that impact and whether or not it affected our ability to generate revenue. And if one department qualifies, the whole organization qualifies. The biggest impact has been the nursing home. And so because the nursing home qualifies, that the rest of the organization qualifies. So so that's, yeah, exciting. I'll keep you in the loop as we hear more, and we'll have meetings on the other quarters coming up as well. So another thing we had, I went to a conference down in Laramie, and there's a guy named Brian Lee who runs a company called Custom Learning Systems that specialize in, I think they got their start in patient experience and really helping hospitals drive to a 5-star rating. They also have been doing a lot of work over the last few years on employee retention and getting away from travelers and having a sustainable workforce. And so he presented to our admin team last week, and I'd love to bring him on site. They do like a 2-day intensive where they come in and have meetings with a lot of our managers, both patient care and non-patient care managers, with the providers and the board, and help us come up with a 3-year strategic plan on how we can improve our patient experience. And there's some funding through the state for them to come out. They're giving us a pretty big discount, even if we don't get the state funds, but it's $4,200. I'm looking at having them come out later this probably early winter kind of time frame. Hopefully that gives us time to get some of the construction and some of these things behind us. If you look at, and I was digging into HCAHPS scores quite a bit and talking to Brian, and I know there's a lot of things that I think will be improved with our construction and having new facilities and those kind of things. But one thing that really jumped out to me is our patients' willingness to refer. We're below the state average, and I feel like if there's any measure that says how we're doing as an organization, it's that one that says whether or not people are willing to recommend us. And so I think there's room for us to grow and improve and really help push quality and that patient satisfaction. One of the things he brought up, in an average three-day hospital stay, patients have 60 transitions of care, which is unbelievable. And I think a lot of quality is really driven from those interactions. How are people handed off? How are they received? And how are our employees talking about each other during those handoffs? And so I think there's some areas where we can really grow and improve and really improve the patient experience while they're here. And doing that in conjunction with moving into a new space, I think really sets ourselves up for this great launch into improving our patient, our HCAHPS scores kind of across the board. They'll come to a two-day like intensive with us, and then in 10 days later we get that three-year plan. So it really, I think, helps set us up for creating that roadmap that we can address, and we don't have to recreate the wheel, but we can really kind of lean on. There's, I think, 6 or 7 other hospitals around the state that are doing similar programs with them, and I talked to one of the CEOs that has worked with Brian at a past hospital and brought him in here and just raised about the work that they do and the help that they've been and where he's worked. So I did, you know, like I said, I applied for that funding through the state, and they said they should get back to me tomorrow. So hopefully they seem pretty promising that there'd be funds available for me when I talked to them previously. So construction has seemed like it is just like everywhere over the last especially the last month. Like Dr. Rice had brought up, they keep invading more and more space from the clinic side, and it almost feels like every time you walk down there, there's different rooms being invaded, and they're tearing windows out and things like that. So it's nice to see progress, and I would agree, almost every time I'm down there, there's people that have shifted into different exam rooms and working in different parts of the clinic, just trying to help be able to hear patients, get away from some of the noise. And so I think our team's been great at working through the issues. We did finally last week get the power line removed over by the therapy clinic. So I don't know if it's been problem or frustrating for you guys, but driving in here every single day and seeing the no progress taking place over there has been weighing on me, at least. So that finally got buried. We have them here putting the rest of the steel up this week. We'll have framers here the following week, and hopefully a roof. So it's really going to start taking off here in the next few weeks. The other thing, and we talked about it a couple months ago when we were rezoning the house, is the need to expand parking lot. So I got a new design today. I don't have pricing yet on the increased cost, but we're not adding any drive space. It's truly going to be like only parking lot. So they don't think we're adding all that much like curbing or real pavement into the project. So they think it's going to be a pretty affordable solution. And we're looking at, I think it was like 16 or 17 additional spaces with this plan compared to the previous one. So I think it really helps expand that need, especially with employees parking on the street, some of those things we've been hearing. And then the other thing we've been trying to figure out while they do the construction, alternative parking solutions. So I've been working with the Jehovah's Witness Church on whether or not we can use their parking lot. It's been a process, but I had a favorable conversation today. It's got to go get approved by like their national headquarters, and so I guess they had to turn in board minutes and all this stuff. There's never a lack of red tape when it comes to things like this, it seems like. But there's another church in town, and I can't remember which one.
Calvary Chapel.
Yeah, has offered to let us use there. So the downside there is people would have to cross Fort Street. It's the old Wesleyan church. But at least we have a couple different options, and so I think we have a place for employees to go. that's relatively close. They're both 2 to 3 blocks away from the facility. We're rolling out some exemptions for employees that maybe have health issues or that distance is going to be hard for them to handle. And so we'll be reviewing those as they come through, but hopefully we'll get something started in the relatively near future, sometime in June, so we can make sure that it's done before we hit winter. So I know I personally had a bunch of concrete issues in early October last year, so we'll avoid that. And then the HVAC unit, I think they got things pretty much wrapped up with the HVAC unit. It's been running for the last week. They've been dumping it, the air outside of the facility, letting it kind of get the odor and different things out. They're waiting to get the manufacturer up, and so they've been having issues getting him scheduled to come certify the unit and do all that stuff, but I'm hopeful in the near future we'll have that that problem solidified. And then the other big issue with the inpatient space has been the ADA sinks, and so I've had numerous conversations, it seems like on a weekly basis, for the last 2 months, and I think earlier today, I tried to catch you, Mary. I think we came up with a solution that is probably going to work for us, and so last week we were thinking we're going to have to eliminate some of the showers, and or move to tiled showers for some of the rooms, and we're going to have some conversation about how many rooms we really needed to have ADA with the next phase, bringing more up to speed. But I think this solution hopefully will let us bring all those rooms up to speed and meet those requirements. And we'll add about 2 to 3 more inches under the sink unit itself. So hopefully we have a solution there and we can get moving on that pretty quickly. So. And then we've done a lot of work with the managers going through the phase 2 designs. We did a big page turn a couple months ago, and going through cabinets and making sure people were having cabinets and stuff where they wanted them. I think we probably changed 70% of cabinet plans overall and a bunch of other kind of tweaks and shifts, and ended up saving about $70,000 on the project as a whole for that effort. So, and then we had hospital week. And I think we had really good turnout. We had a lot of people participating. Mary won a bunch of awards for her Hospital Week festivities, but had a really good turnout for the employee potluck and a lot of people bringing in sides. We had a bunch of our providers that were judges, and we had a dessert, a pasta, and a sides competition. And so I think it was a great turnout. We were hoping to barbecue, and yeah, it was threatening, so we had to move it inside, so that was kind of unfortunate, but had a really good turnout. A lot of people brought their kids and had colors, or things for them to color, and masks decorating and different things, so I think even the kids that showed up helped, seemed to have a lot of fun, so that's a really good event. So that's all I have.
When did they start on the parking lot?
I don't have firm dates yet, that's why I haven't shared that, so... At like 4 o'clock today, I finally got a hold of the guys from Jehovah's Witness Church, and so yeah, well.
I just don't think they'll be done with it before fall and winter.
Yeah.
Can you do a little description of Senior Life Solutions? I thought that was more of an outpatient thing, but it sounds like we're in that empty wing at Amy Holt, there's some overnight activities or?
No, it's still all outpatients and outpatient Medicare behavioral health. It's like an intensive program. So they do a couple hours of group therapy Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and they do individual therapy on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So it's not, people are normally in the program for about 6 months. I think it's about their average length. And so we'll probably get a lot of people from Amy Holt. They normally have a lot of nursing home patients that are part of the program. They're really dealing with like loss of independence, loss of, you know, friends and family members, and depression is kind of a huge part of their screening. And it's really kind of geared to the Medicare age because of the amount of hours a week that's committed to it. So it's really hard for people to do that while they're working or have kids or different things like that, because it's, you know, I think 3 hours, you know, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, provide lunch and different things like that. So it's pretty beneficial in the cost report. I think the numbers I saw, and I actually thought they seemed low, and I talked to Mark, our cost report preparer, on it. We thought they seemed low as well, but it was like $150,000 a year in the black. So rather than having that sit empty, I think it seems low because of the depreciation and some of the utility costs that's now going to the nursing home that we can actually put into service, but should actually let us, you know, turn that wing into something positive. The big holdup with Senior Life Solutions right now that we're trying to figure out is, do they need a separate entrance into the nursing home or not? So I had a call earlier today with Luke from the state and had him on site last week. We walked through the facility and kind of was showing him what we're looking at. And so now he said they were good with it on their end. Now I need to figure out the billing side, because I got a yes, but kind of answer. So we need to figure out whether or not we're able to bill based on that yes.
So would you need to hire some additional staffing, like a mental health provider or food?
Yeah, so they kind of run the whole program. And so they have, they have three employees on site. They'll have a CNA, and I think normally the CNA is employed by the hospital. They have a RN and then a licensed social worker. And then they have a psychiatrist that's remote. So the psychiatrist will zoom in for the calls and things like that. The big advantage is really the impact on the cost report. So we get to provide the service, but then we get the impact on the cost report. So it's, in a lot of ways, the program's kind of a break even. It's not like this huge money maker. We're not charging, you know, tons of money to really make a ton of money on the program. But we get to turn something that's not allowable on the cost report into allowable on the cost report, and that's really where we see the big advantage. So.
You referred to they, but I'm not clear who they are.
The Senior Life Solutions, that program.
So that's a company that comes in and does this?
Yeah.
An outside agency?
Mm-hmm. So they kind of run the program fairly independently. They providing the like oversight, they do to make sure that it's meeting compliance and kind of the whole oversight to the program. So
will the physicians have to write an order or referral? How do patients get accepted?
Yeah, so they can do a number of different ways. So they'll even go like through and meet with community center members and things like that. So they can get a referral from the provider, or they can be direct. Or I think patients can directly refer themselves. So. And they do all the authorization and all that stuff on their side. And so anybody can go through and be kind of evaluated on whether or not they're a fit for the program or not. So.
Is dementia part of the demand for the service?
That somebody has dementia?
Yeah. Are there aspects of the program that address that, or caregiver training? Or
I think there's probably, so they do family. So like if you have a family member who's really struggling, they can do a family group session and help the family figure out how they respond to certain things for somebody who's qualified in the program. I think it would really depend on the level of dementia. If somebody's not able to actually show improvement, I don't know if they would qualify for the program from that standpoint. So.
I think he said that if they couldn't participate in the program, they would qualify.
Yeah.
So. And they can have, like, there's people from the care center now that would be benefit from that. I mean, there's some that we've already thought of that would be very useful for that. They could have them come here. He said usually when they start out, if they start out in long-term care, a lot of times it's some of the residents that they start with, and then, you know, through word of mouth and families and stuff, it gets bigger, but usually when they start out, it's mostly
Any other questions for Luke?
Yeah, Luke, just a quick question on back on the construction. I was just curious, you know, percentage of completion, are we on budget, are we on schedule, and what about the loan, you know, I mean, how much have we advanced on the loan? Have we got plenty of room there left?
Overall completion, I don't know if I even fully have a number. I think the clinic's making a lot of progress from the trades, but I'm not quite sure I even know, like, overall completion percentage. The inpatient space, I think there's a lot of promise that in the next month or two we'll be able to be into this space. It'll really depend on lead times for the material that they need to fix the sink issue. Will didn't think it would be overly time consuming, the fix. He thought it would take a guy about half a day to really do some of the demo work that they need. So I don't think that's going to be overly time consuming. But we need to pick out a material that's going to match the bathrooms and get it ordered before we figure out a lead time on that. So we just met, I think we finished our meeting about 3:30 today, so, and kind of came up with a solution.
That seems like a pretty big miss to me, you know, for these architects to put that in this thing. And I think you told us last month, but I can't remember. I mean, who picked up the bill for this change, you know?
Yeah, it's not going to be us, so.
Okay.
There's a couple other issues. Like the rooms have been, or like the hallway especially down the inpatient corridor, is super dark, and so I had them switch out lights, so they're fitting the bill on that, both in the inpatient hallway and the ADL space as well. So, and I guess the other thing, I forgot this earlier, but the ADL space. It's pretty much ready to go, and so hopefully we'll get that signed off here in June, and they'll be able to start using it. So Mike has another physical therapist joining their group in June, and so they've, you know, continued to expand and grow, and they're running out of space. I consistently see one of the therapists treating somebody out in the hallway just because of the lack of space. So they're chomping at the bit to get in both the ADL space and their new space. I think we, you know,
I have a little personal experience with the physical therapy department. All of a sudden, when I was in there the other day, I could not believe it. I mean, they are, like you say, chomping at the bit. They can hardly wait, but they're so busy. I mean, there was patients, and everybody's busy. I mean, it was stressed, actually.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a great move on our part.
Yeah.
What have we advanced on the loan so far?
Just over 1.3.
That's it, huh? Wow.
That's it. Huh.
So either we're using some of our own cash, or we still. But I think you told us last time that we were, as far as the $18 or $19 million in the total project, we had already spent half of it or something. I can't remember.
We're at 10.9 at the end of April.
Wow. Seems like we have plenty of room in that loan.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, it's good to be in this position, be this far along, and have plenty of room to go. So. And we have, you know, the tax credit funds coming in that we didn't really foresee, and we haven't officially gotten the grant contract to sign off yet, so we still have that coming as well. So,
cool.
And we haven't touched foundation funds at all either. So,
any other questions for Luke? Very well. We have some credentialing next. And there are some reappointments, which are number five. Those are the three orthopedic surgeons that have...
Those ones are still in process.
Okay, never mind those. Let's go up to one. There are 12 neurologists who are employed by Blue Sky Neurology. They are our stroke center telemedicine consultants for acute care stroke through Banner Health at Wyoming Medical Center. And with your approval, they will be credentialed and have privileges here and be able to consult and use a telemedicine equipment to examine and make recommendations for stroke care. Similar to what we had been doing with neurologists employed by the Wyoming Medical Center, except at this point there are no hospital neurology staff in Casper. So this service, which is based in Colorado, is on contract with Banner Health. And this is the final piece in getting that program up and running. We have been doing some less formal consulting with that service. In the meantime, I think our ER director said we've done two or three phone consults, and it probably has something to do with whether or not they can bill for the service and so on. But they want to maintain the relationship with our hospital, given they are the closest stroke center, and that's the most favorable location for transferring people with stroke who need an intervention. So I think that may be far more than you needed to know about that, but those are the credentials that are up for appointment. Could entertain a motion for that unless there's other questions.
I'll make a motion that we approve the list there of the MDs and DOs for appointment.
Well, Christy beat you to it, but you can second.
Okay, I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any other discussion? If not, those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And those opposed? Those appointments have been approved. So the orthopedic surgeons under number five will probably be next month.
Yes, they will. And I have an additional three neurologists that I just pushed out, so potentially have them at the next meeting.
With the same organization?
Yes. They told me that it's three that should have been on this list that weren't ever pushed to me, so three more of them. And I actually have four orthos coming, because the fourth one sent paperwork after I sent that out. So it's processing now too. And then I think I have two others that I have not gotten paperwork back on, but probably will be next meeting as well if they get it back to me.
Will those three delay us from the four?
No, because I can send these 12. The lady that I talked to said that they were missed. We just need to get them through. She understands that they are going to be a month behind the rest of them if everything works out well, but I did tell her that these 12 would probably be going through, so we should be fine.
Very well. Thanks for doing all that. We're now at the point where we discuss our financial performance.
Other than it still needing to brighten up, can you see it? Mm-hmm. Okay, so for April, we had just over 2.5 million in gross patient revenue. We're still coming in under budget. I did look through those a lot closer again today, and most of it is inpatient. It's showing the numbers going up and down. Deductions were slightly under where we budgeted. I'll explain that a little bit more in a minute. Expenses were higher than anticipated. I looked at those really close also. And the biggest pieces there are still the travelers in lab and nursing home, and then PT and OT. So for the month, we are at a $360,000 loss. I've been doing a lot of work in the last few weeks with Mark Lyons and the auditors on audit adjustments and allowance work and AR cleanup. So that impact is about a $350,000 impact on April's month end. So that's eventually going to start leveling out, but that is impacting our numbers right now. Year to date, gross patient revenue is at 28 million. We're 1.8 behind where we anticipated. Again, deductions. Oh, I was actually looking at that wrong. We are under budget on deductions, and expenses is real close, almost right at budget. So for the year to date, we're sitting at $209,000 loss. Looking at stats. Again, numbers were back and forth, inpatient. A little more red, but nothing really significant in stats. And year-to-date numbers still look really good. I don't have a whole lot in stats unless you guys have questions on those this time. Looking here, AR in the hospital, you can see where we've been making some adjustments and cleanup compared to what March's numbers look like. Days cash on hand changed a little bit, from March, but not very much. And then looking at cash on hand today, it's actually gone up a little bit since April. And then income statement, I don't really have a whole lot on here. The biggest ones would be the professional fees, which again is travelers and PT. Nothing else really outstanding on here.
I wasn't able to understand cost report, accounts receivable, working with Mark Lyons, and how that influences the figures on this report.
Some of it is the audit adjustments that I've been working with back and forth with both Mark and the auditors. So I had to go in and reopen books, make a bunch of adjustments from prior year. So that has impacted some of our numbers, and then we've been doing some AR cleanup and fixing some things with collections and receivable solutions, and that has also impacted our AR numbers for all of the things that we're fixing and cleaning up. There's been a lot of things happening.
Does it mean we have more money than this says or less?
So,
which way is that going?
So accounting's kind of funky because accounting doesn't always mean dollars. So like it's can kind of be a little bit backwards. So a lot of the cleanup has really been around the contractual adjustments. So the contractual adjustment model, and Mark actually came through and created a new one for us when they went back and did our last year's audit. And so Becky's been getting training on the new model, so it should help bring some more accuracy to like our monthly financial statements as well. And a lot of the cleanup then has been how we're handling the once something goes to collections. Historically, we've kept that on the books, even when it's been sent off to collections. And so making the shift to actually write that off at the time it goes to collections, and then recognize receivables, and we'll offset that write-off. But what you collect when you actually send something to collections is not worth leaving on the books and maintaining that. And so that's been the biggest shift there, is making that adjustment. It's mostly an accounting standpoint, is just getting those things off the books. And so with that has come some additional cleanup. It's been a lot of work. I think they wrote off like 9,000 accounts or something like that to get the... because we've had years and years of stuff that's been written off to collections and just been sitting on the books. So it's been a lot of work from that standpoint. The other advantage we have is through the cost report, Medicare has the ability to pull patients that are Medicare eligible, especially for like outpatient services, that leaves a 20% copay to Medicare patients. And so anyone who's get sent to collections and doesn't pay, or we have the ability to run that through the cost report, and Medicare through the cost report, I think it's 60% that they pay us on anything that's uncollectible. And so we have never really done that. And so we were estimating about $300,000 for the cost report we'll be able to claim on Medicare credit balance adjustments.
So. That's 60% of the 20%.
What?
60% of the 20% copay.
Yeah, well, or whatever like their self-pay portion is for Medicare patients. So.
There's some more process changes that are coming with all of this also to make sure that all of that's still in place and will continue going forward, because that Medicare piece is not something that has been done before.
Yeah, and so that it's not like we'll have that every year. It's just because we've like never really done it that we have all these people out there. So we get to claim like 8 years at once, because it's the time you deem it uncollectible, which is essentially the process we're going through now that we declare on the cost reports.
That could be material, couldn't it? I mean, that could be huge.
Yeah, I'll never shy away from $300,000. So.
I guess it's just more the process of, documenting that it is in fact uncollectible.
Yeah. And so Mark's been helping build that process, and I think we got a pretty good process in place now. So ongoing, I can't remember if they're going to do it monthly or quarterly, they'll be bringing things back as uncollectible for us to file on cost reports.
Wow. Well, that's about all I can
add.
That's pretty much all I have for month-end stuff, actually.
Any questions for Becky on financial performance? Thank you.
Do you want to do budget next?
That seems appropriate.
Okay. First, just the normal budget schedule that we look at. We are here, going to look at preliminary, and then we have the nursing home price increase and the levy request that'll have to be approved tonight. We have budgeted a 5% price increase across all service lines. Here is the room rate for the nursing home. Currently we are at 312. This is the proposed increase. And our current Medicaid rate is 196.53 right now.
And that, we're anticipating that's going to go up to like 223 with the Medicare rate increase through the state,
which is budgeted into that revenue as well.
The daily rate jump puts us in line with where Sheridan is.
I have that.
Okay.
That was also in the packet. Those are the rates around us.
And those are current rates. They're not reflecting any changes in the next fiscal year. In other words, greenhouse is 355 today.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So that's about $20,000 a year for a private pay increase if we go up $63 a day.
How many agents are on private pay?
16 or 17. That's actually a better mix than I thought we had.
I think historically it's normally like a 60-40, 60% Medicaid.
Yeah,
so does that seem...
That's right, yeah.
So going back, we're anticipating volume in the hospital to continue increasing. That is going to be due to PT, OT, and then the new contract with OR as well. And I have the nursing home dated resident census of 33 still. Those Medicare rates are based off of our most recent interim rate adjustment. The wages, it's budgeted with the estimated increase of the 5%. We had 3% budgeted last year. Would you
want to
talk about that one?
Yeah, so we did a salary analysis, but we've kind of been working on, had the plan for, and then with the HR turnover and stuff, it's taken a while. We spent a lot of time over the last probably 3 months really digging into the salary analysis. There's quite a few positions that had a decent jump, so 5% gets us, for a lot of positions, kind of caught up with that market jump. But on top of that, we have a significant increase. There's a lot of departments that were not hit with some of the RN jumps, clinical staff jumps that we've done. Anticipating a pretty good jump in salaries just to stay competitive. We've gone, it's been a little bit now since I've heard it, but consistently for about a 4 month stretch, people bringing in some salary analysis they get from, you know, some association they're a part of on where they are. And it's pretty hard when, I mean, the numbers that we're showing are matching up with what they're seeing, and it's significantly low. So, I mean, I have concerns that if we don't stay competitive in that arena, that we could lose people as well. So,
when do those salary wage increases come into play? Is it just on everyone across the board, or is there anything they have to wait on?
So, the 5% would be done when they get their annual review, and then the other market catch up increases would probably hit July 1st. With going into the new budget year.
Supplies are budgeted with a 6% increase. That's based on the inflationary. Foundation, then 6,000, and then the mill levy. I did reach out to see kind of what that number is looking like. So that's based off of the estimate that I was given from the assessor's office. So that will change depending on what that number actually looks like. That is too small. This one here is based off of actual since March. This is the forecast. You see it okay? Forecasted through the end of the year. So this is the budget column here. So this is where we're coming in at for revenue with all of those increases. The nursing home, that's with the new rate and with the new Medicaid rate that we're anticipating.
And the mill?
It's further down. It's not there yet. Other revenue is pretty consistent. Deductions. So here is wages with that increase built in there. Professional fees, we made some adjustments. I've increased it to account for the additional therapist coming into PT, but I've decreased it anticipating travelers going away a little bit. Let's see, depreciation is another one that was increased. That's putting the inpatient space into service, as well as kind of accounting for some of the equipment going into service. Here's where the mill is at. We also have this additional 1.4 in there for the grants. That is accounting for the SLIP grants that we have not received anything from yet. So there is where we're looking at for bottom line right now. Again, this is preliminary, so there's things that I will probably need to go in and adjust as different numbers come in, that kind of stuff.
And one of the big things we're working with Mark with the cost report, because some of the expense increases will be picked up, that cost will be picked up through the cost report. And so this doesn't have any impact of the cost report and what Medicare would pick up of those. And so we have a pretty good jump in salaries and benefits to kind of follow in suit. But I would expect the cost report to pick up a pretty good chunk of that. And so would expect this number to actually improve. And then there's a lot of things. Look, this is, I've done budgets for a long time. This is a hard year to budget because we have a lot of things that are, we're like just starting to explore going into, or this late into a budget cycle, as far as shifts and changes in the nursing home and what we can actually, you know, meaningfully do there. Some different service line things that we have some potential for this next year. So this is not reflective of any of those things that we've really talked about. So.
Why is interest expense zero?
That is where our interest expense on our debt service for the loan payments was falling. So there's nothing in there right now. We need to probably look at that, actually. I don't have anything in there right now for any debt service. There are other questions?
Can you remind me what professional fees are? Because then maybe it's just a recategorization over time of one category to another. But that, just over the last 4 years, it's just jumped hugely.
So the professional fees is where the PT and OT contract falls because they are no longer employees. And then that's also where the expense for our travel, CNAs, and lab employees falls. That's why you're seeing such a big increase.
Another huge decrease in wages.
No. No other questions? The last one I have is first look at capital.
Can you blow it up just a little bit?
Yep.
Thank you.
Better?
Yeah.
Okay. This last one down here is OR equipment. That's kind of a placeholder for right now. As Inspire comes in and works with the OR team, we don't know what that would look like, but we have a placeholder there.
What do you know about the first entry that you provide a login for $45,000?
Laurie, you want to take that one?
It's a new sign-on system, so you just sign in one time and then you'll sign in everything. You don't have to sign in to CPSI. You don't have to sign in to all scripts. It's just a one-time sign-in. So you sign in your computer one time and you're on to everything. So you don't have to sign into for radiology, or if you wanted to look at Platt for some reason or want to be at Allscripts or CPSI or whatever else you have that you would normally have to have a password for, you could put all those in there and you just sign it one time.
Is it an annual thing or is it a one-time fee?
No, it's buying licenses for the most part. So there's not really any equipment. It's just licenses for the staff. So
there is an initial setup fee for two things, and I can't remember exactly how much it is, and then it is so much a license. I think I think it was like $15,000 to initially start up for.
Yeah, I can't remember the quote.
Something like that.
The system we currently have in place is we have to replace the server in order to keep it running because it's so old. And so there's several employees that are using it kind of across the organization. But we'd have, I think it was $5,000 or $8,000 we'd have to spend just to keep our current system up and running. And it's pretty dated. So this actually lets us put something more up to date. It's
and we have to have the little things that you touch your finger to, and you have to replace those continually. And if they don't work, you have to wash them off with alcohol and try to make your finger, you have to redo your finger scan. It's just really time consuming and not very effective.
So the bone density scanner for $55,000 seems low for radiology equipment.
Bone monitoring for $380,000, that's a big bet.
Yeah, what's that, Mayor?
That's our new monitor, cardiac monitor system that goes ER, ICU,
meds,
OR, and cardiac rehab, every little facility.
The one they have
they're
now
expensive.
Is out of...
Yeah, it runs on Windows 10, so if Windows 10 crashes, we're...
Yeah, they don't support it anymore.
And that's what I was going to ask, because I figured we probably have something, but it's just technology change, you know, this is the new and improved and the best stuff, so...
Well, I think... This is definitely a huge upgrade from what we have, but what we have now has been sunset, so they're no longer supporting it, and so it's a really big deal for how we monitor patients, and if it goes out, we're going to have some issues from that standpoint. So I think it's a pretty vital piece of equipment, and I mean, Dr. Schuler probably, he relies on it much more than I do in my office, but I think it's important that we don't wait until it goes out before we look at replacing them.
Yeah, they're pretty proud of their equipment. For example, on an ambulance, the heart monitor defibrillator unit that is currently in use is about $40,000 for one. So to have monitors throughout the facility for that is less than what an ambulance spends per unit.
How long is the old equipment been in use?
15 years.
12 years. We've been in the new ER for 12 years and have it since then.
Dr. Schuler.
I noticed, just a quick question. I noticed that comparing last year's capital budget, but there were things on there like the sign over there by the oil barn that we didn't do, and that stuff is not on this list. Is it? Are we still doing those things, or do we decide not to do them or something?
So we've been kind of digging into that. I think we've had a bunch of issues with who we've used for signage in the past, and so over the last two, three months, we've actually found a new vendor to do signage, and so. We're kind of trialing them for the interior signage for the new space, but they've worked in Gillette, the hospital in Gillette, Sheridan, Casper. I think they have a couple hundred hospitals across the country, and their rep's been really good to work with, and so I'm pretty positive we actually have somebody that's going to really stick with us through this, and then we'll get, and that's still something I think is something that we need to look at. We also need to figure out easement issues and stuff like that. So we're digging into some of those things right now to see the possibility of it or not.
Right, I mean, I was just curious, like, in the budgeting process, if that stuff was approved last year and we haven't spent it yet, are those funds, like, set aside somewhere to continue with those projects? And it wasn't just a sign. I mean, there was, I can't remember, there was four, five, or six items that it looked like we didn't do.
Yeah, I just looked at it again, Tom. One of them is our payroll program that we're still working on as well. So kind of in the works.
Yeah, I mean, since we've already approved those, then we some of them may happen, some may not, but we don't have to reapprove them, I guess, is what I'm asking.
No, I think we would. Like, if we would bring something back in that's not on this list, it would still have to come back to you guys. So.
Okay.
We don't have this like growing capital budget wish list that we just pull out and say, oh, surprise, we decided to spend $150,000 that you guys didn't approve this year. So.
It's not a
big
list. Dr. Schuller, the bone density is definitely one of the smaller ones, but he's got a big one coming up in the future. So. His won't be quite so small going forward.
I guess I'm glad to hear that.
That's all I have.
So I noticed our estimate for revenues, which were primarily inpatient, ended up being higher by about $2 million at the end of the year if we project forward. And so I guess I'm wondering if that's factored into the forecast for the next fiscal year. And that's a hard thing to estimate given that we're expanding some areas and did we lose revenue this year because construction, or we probably don't know, and will the trajectory next year be a little less optimistic going forward, or how do you come up with a number like that?
This one, so where it's at right now is based off of our actual for this year with the 5% increase factored into it.
So 34,262 is what we're expecting will be the final revenue for 2023. And we're online to get that number.
Do you adjust the forecast every quarter now, or do you?
Yes, it would be adjusted, yes. So this is just based off of March's numbers, so that's not including April numbers right now.
When we did, you know, increase 5% across the board on all services, do we take into account at all like insurance reimbursement rates, or like, because I know insurance companies have, you know, for this particular service, here's what you pay, for example. I mean, does that get factored in at all? I mean, when we do these projections and so forth, or do we account for that?
Not in those revenue numbers, no.
Yeah, okay.
That would be really hard.
So, like, if the insurance company doesn't fully pay us because they did not really pay us this much for this particular procedure, but we had billed this much, does that difference then end up in the deductions from revenue?
Yeah, that's where. So, those contractual adjustments would show up in deductions.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and like on a individual claim basis, it can be really hard to predict, but on a broad, like anytime you add the thousands of claims we bill for Medicare and Blue Cross, the collective lets you get to be pretty accurate. And so that's where having Mark come in and help us with that contractual model, I think is gonna really help bring some more accuracy to our deduction line. Revenue varies drastically from year to year, especially from an inpatient floor. It's really hard when to overall predict exactly where that's going to be. But when you look at multiple years, it helps bring some more accuracy to the numbers, or at least help predict trends. And so when you look from year to year, there's always a lot of fluctuation, but if you expand it over a couple of the years, it really does help bring some stability to the budgeting process. So.
Yeah, I was just looking at that, you know, the chart here, and it shows 20 actual, 21, 22, 23 forecasts with 2 months left, and then of course 24 budget. All seems pretty reasonable to me, to be honest. I mean, particularly with our increase in our prices, and once we finish this construction, of course it won't be completely done in 24, but a lot of it will be, and I think that's going to make a difference. And, right? It sure seems plausible to me. Seems like I got an email from the council or the county on the budgeting process inviting some of us to come to that meeting. Is it necessary that we go to that budget meeting, Luke, or do you guys got that in?
We handled it last year. I mean, you guys are more than welcome to come, but we attended last year, and I think we can handle that on our side. So.
Have you gotten
something? I haven't received anything from them either, so. It's interesting you got something, Tom, and we didn't. We'll reach out to them tomorrow.
Yeah, I got an email. Huh, yeah, I should pass that along. I mean, I got an email saying, here's the time of the day. So I was like, seriously? Hmm.
Yeah, it's June 21, I think.
Yeah, I haven't seen
anything. I haven't seen anything either.
Maybe they just sent it to
you. Yeah. We'll reach out to them.
Forward it to you.
Did you get one too?
I didn't. Oh, okay.
You got one?
I'm going to have to send income statement and the mill levy request to them, which I plan on sending tonight when we're done, so that they have it. So I can also ask for that date, so we know when we're supposed to be there.
That seems kind of new to me. I don't remember in years past this happening. So.
Yeah, it happens for us every year, but for the board to get the email, that's new to me as well.
I see.
Yeah, because when I was just the interim, me and you went to that, just got asked to that. So.
I'll clarify what's going on when I email this stuff to them tonight.
So we have two items to approve, and that would be the price increase as proposed and then the mill levy request if we're ready to move into that area.
Are you done with this?
Any further budget discussion for Becky or Luke? Thank you. Well, I know as an organization, it's been usual that we increased our prices, and 5% was historically the number, and I'm wondering if that's standard across the industry or we're unique. I don't have much outside experience there.
It's pretty standard.
More or less keeping up with inflation or trying to...
Especially in the inflation cycle we're now, it'd be hard to justify doing less than 5%. So.
Well, I'll make a motion that we approve the price increases and that we approve the mill levy request. If that's what we're waiting for.
We'll second that.
You're going to do a double motion, Tom?
What are we requesting for the mill levy?
Just three months.
I thought that was part of the budget, because the mill levy request was in the budget. So maybe I jumped in.
I don't have
you're right, Tom.
Problem there. I doubt there's much dissension on either. You did the double
so that's a 5% increase in the 3 millimeter list.
No, it's so the Amy Holt price increase, yes, which is greater than 5.
It was from like 315 to 377.
Oh, yes.
That's
right.
Oh, okay. That's
way more than 5%.
Yeah, so that was up to the 375. Okay.
What was it? 312.
312. 312. 312. 312.
Okay.
So it's about a
20%. Yeah,
that's
a big one.
It's a big one. I think that's. It's a hard ask, I think, for sure. Especially for the people that have family members over there. I think with the financial position that Amy Holt is currently in, and comparing to rates that we're seeing around us, I think it makes sense at this time to do the jump. If everybody was around the 312 where we are now, I don't think I'd be making the recommendation, but I don't think it's affordable for us to stay so much lower than everybody else and put that burden on the taxpayers to go get another 3 mils or things like that. I think we have to try to maintain the operations as a whole across the organizations.
So if we go to the 375, we're going to be the highest priced one in our area.
Right now, but depending on when people's fiscal years are, when they adjust their rates.
They're probably adjusting them tonight at third quarter.
Make sure, Mary.
So, I mean, we could look at staying under and doing something like that. So.
Well, I feel with losses that we've seen and the viability in question, we've got to do a number of things to try to make that balance better if we're going to keep the nursing home open.
Have you run the numbers where it's usually like a 60-40 split with private pay versus Medicaid and how that adjusts versus what we're doing right now?
The numbers we looked at last month were based on the historical 60-40 split.
They were.
So between the
analysis.
Our rate increase and the Medicaid rate increase, it's about $500,000 a year, I think, is if I remember right.
So we have a motion to approve the price.
Well, it was close, wasn't it? I mean, it seemed to me like that one chart in the budget showed Bighorn rehab at 370, Westview's at 373, Greenhouse at 355. You know, and we're at 312, so we're the 375 kind of just gets us on par with those other ones. I guess the cheap one would be Legacy and Gillette at 310, but you guys were saying, because I missed some of that, that these prices, like for Bighorn, Westview, and Greenhouse, they do? Or they're going to go up over that, you think, or they're not? Or that they're already been adjusted or something?
Well, that's not normally part of our process to see like when they adjusted rates and when they're planning to adjust rates. You know what I mean? Like
that's where they're at right now.
Yeah, that's what they're currently at this moment. So.
Okay.
And we've been far below other facilities in this region forever. So the motion is the Amy Holt price increase and the mill levy request. That's what's currently on the table. And that's been seconded. Any further discussion?
Go on the second. Sorry.
Reach.
Those in favor of those motions, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And those opposed? So those motions pass. If that's kosher with Robert's rules of order. And I don't remember from our budget schedule if approving the 5% price increase is part of tonight's.
No. That'll come next month.
Okay. So we have been getting 3 mils for over 20 years and requested that every year. And again, this year, request the same.
To check in on a regular basis to get an idea of where they think that's going before I finish this up.
I think that estimate is not high. It's 1.2. Probably low, if anything.
Yeah, and I can't remember exactly what Steve told me. He was basing that off of kind of where we sat last year or something. I don't know exactly what you told me. I had to look back at my emails. But he said that would be a fair estimate. And he's just going to have to wait until he gets the final approval from the state.
Yeah, I know the rural healthcare district has been getting 2 mils, and they've already received over $800,000 for 2023. So that's... it's going to be higher for 23 than this estimate of $409,000 per mil. Our final topic for the evening is executive session.